Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Podcast. We're talking playoff football today in South Dakota and in Iowa. We'd like to thank our sponsors for making this possible: Sioux City Ford Lincoln, Fairway Groceries of Siouxland, and CNOS, proud sponsor of Siouxland Sports Insider. And we'll start off first in the state of South Dakota, where 11B, the matchup of the state championship game last year, meets up again this Friday night at Winter High School. Elk Point Jefferson travels to Winter after their narrow win. Elk Point Jefferson getting that win on last Friday night over Tri-Valley, 14-7. Winter handled Aberdeen Roncalli 28-0. It's going to be a matchup that Coach Terry and the team is very familiar with. I mean, it's a team that knocked Elk Point Jefferson out of the playoffs for the last couple of years. And, you know, meeting up last year in the championship game, it was a battle of just what offense wanted it more. And last year, the skill position groups and the offensive line for Elk Point Jefferson were able to prove to be enough to get a win for that state title. On the other side of that bracket, you got Rapid City Christian Hot Springs, a 10-6 matchup. So both of those teams on the bottom side of the bracket did win by upset. So almost don't want to point it towards it, but this kind of feels like the championship game in Class 11B played up at Winter. Long drive for the Elk Point faithful. That's about a 3.5-hour drive. So should be really hopefully a good crowd watching online, and you know, hopefully they get a crowd up there as well. But should be a good game. Winner's a team that brought a decent amount back, even with the guys that they returned. You know, they've proven this season that, you know, they haven't won in quite the same size of victory as what they had won in the years past. So this is a younger team out of Elk Point Jefferson that's going to have to go up there and do some work. You know, having both the Gales back and having Mercury back healthy is huge for this team, both offensively and defensively. A team that's, you know, taken some strides from week one till now, you know, a game away from the state championship game defensively, to where last year they were just kind of outscoring a lot of opponents, and they were just, you know, for everyone matched up, all 11 guys on the field, they were just better skill on the field than it seemed like the teams they were going up against. But should be another good one. That game, like I said, last year in the championship game was probably one of the best games that was played championship-wise in the state of South Dakota. It was a close game. You know, there weren't very many passes thrown. That a Winter likes to run a certain style of offense, and it's worked for them. You know, they're the Goliath of the last couple years in 11B, and they look to stay that way. So it should be a good matchup in the state of South Dakota tomorrow. That kickoff is at 7 o'clock in Winter. We'll move over now and work our way up. Eight-man, no teams left standing in the Sioux City region as the Remnants of St. Mary's team got upset by Bishop Garrigan, and they look to improve and defend their title run from last year. With the seniors that they're going to carry over to their team for next year in 2024. Moving to Class A, the quarterfinal matchups, all Iowa's quarterfinals, semifinals in the state of South Dakota. Quarterfinal in Bracket A, the matchup we saw earlier this year between Logan Magnolia and Woodbury Central. This game will be played at Woodbury Central High School. And last meeting they had, dominated by Woodbury Central, a 39-14 victory for the Wildcats of Woodbury Central. It's a team that offensively, Woodbury Central does a really good job of, you know, scoring in quick drives, whether it's on the ground or through the air. They ran into a little bit of a hiccup in the game against MMCRU, and that's a really good team out of you know, Marcus Meredith Claghorn that they faced last weekend. And the 1-7, a little bit of controversy on the last play. Looking at the play, it looks like a little bobble at the end. But MMCRU did everything they could to stay in that game. And there were some turnovers that were very uncharacteristic for the Wildcats. And they're going to have to clean that up going into a game, Logan Magnolia, that they know, you know, it's hard to beat a same team after they got film on you. And this Logan Magnolia team is a run heavy, almost run all the time team. They've only completed 16 passes for 376 yards on the season, but have rushed for over 3,000 yards on a 6.1 yard per average toed on the ground. They kind of know what they're going to get out of Roden and Kuehl on the offensive side. Those are the two main runners for Logan Magnolia, and Woodbury Central just going to have to do a good job offensively, sustaining drives, not turning the ball over. That kind of was an Achilles heel for them. But as long as they have, Klunder back there taking the signal calls from the sideline, and, you know, Zach Butler behind him and his running mate and Eric McGill split out wide, they're going to have a chance to win any game that they're in. I think it's going to be, you know, another game. It's a lot closer than the score that they had last time, just because I felt like Woodbury Central was able to get to a groove in that game. Logan Magnolia is going to want to really slow this game down. A lot better weather conditions this week than from last week. Field isn't going to be as wet. It's be actually a little bit nicer out too. I believe the kickoff time temperature is around 50 degrees, and last week it was 30s and raining. So a huge difference that makes, especially, you know, especially with the quarterback that you have that's able to throw the ball. You know, if the ball's wet and, you know, slippery and hands are cold, a little bit harder to hold on to the ball and get that zip underneath it. And if you haven't seen Klunder play football, I mean, I've talked about it for the past 2 years. He's definitely one of the best I've seen, no matter what bracket you're in, A to 4A to 5A, anything like that. Just the ball placement and just the poise he has when he sits in the pocket is very hard to get. And there's a reason that this team is so good and loses very few games, because of the leadership that they have at the quarterback position. I think they'll need another good game out of him this Friday at home to advance to the Dome. And, you know, after their loss last year in the Dome, that they've kind of been focused on this point to get here. Every game, you know, builds up a little bit more in the back of your mind, but this is the game here where, hey, we have this game to win, and then we're part of the last four to make it. So should be a really good one down there in Mobile tomorrow night, 7 o'clock kick. Should be a good one. Like I said, the score's going to be a lot closer than it was the first game, but should be a dandy regardless. OABCIG faces off in 1A of the quarterfinals. They take on an Underwood team that's no shock of going to the Dome. They go to the Dome almost as religiously as any team that does in 1A. And this Falcons team hosting a playoff game at 8-2, in the Underwood Eagles coming at 9-1 on the season. A team that, in the beginning of the season, we didn't know what this team was going to look like. We knew that they had some senior leadership, Ladwig and, you know, Brent Henderson, but some of the juniors and some of the key pieces that they have, Kohler at quarterback, has done a really good job for this offense on the season. They've had 25 passing touchdowns. But they do have 16 turnovers. Going to need to clear that up, because on the other side, Garrett Lewitt, just a sophomore for Underwood, 26 touchdown passes, but only 6 interceptions. They take really good care of the football over there, and they have rushed for 1,700 yards on the ground with a 6.0 yards per carry. Just a really big discrepancy there. OABCIG is a team that, you know, scores in the margins of right around 30 points a game and is really sound defensively, whereas Underwood, the last, you know, 5 games they played, they've only allowed 6 points, and that's to East Sac County. And they score in the range of high 40s, low 50s. In this one, OABCIG just defensively is going to have to take the wind out of the sails of Underwood and this explosive offense. Just keep them on the sideline. And, you know, maybe have to get some more ground and pound going, get some your yards per carry up a little bit. Still rushing at a 4.4 yard clip is really good. And just, when you do have to get into passing situations, definitely limiting those turnovers is going to be huge. You know, they've kind of played spoiler the whole season. We didn't know how good this team was going to be, losing everyone that they did last year. And they come out and they've, in their last 5 games, both these teams haven't lost. And really, there's only been one close game out of all of them, and that was the Hinton OABCIG game. And I think that kind of helps OABCIG a little bit, in the way that they know how to win in closer games. They haven't been tested late in the fourth quarter. And you know, games like this, it definitely comes down to that. It's just going to be the maturity of a team that, hasn't really had much expectations on the year, and then another team on the other side that has a really deep senior-led team, minus the quarterback that is expected to make the state tournament. Just a matchup of two different, seasons, the way that the matchup was set to go in the beginning of the year. And last time they played was in 2020, and OABCIG did win that game 49-22. Previous meeting before that was all the way back in 2015. So not very familiar with each other. They have played three times total, basing back to 2014. OABCIG does have the historic matchup 2-1 in favor right now, and Underwood looks to even that series out. It'll be a good one going down there in OABCIG on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock as well. All these games will be kicking off at 7. Moving now into 2A, we still have two teams fighting, jockeying for positions. Technically, three teams because two of the teams play each other. But we'll start off first. Central Lyon, George Little Rock will be playing at home against Kemper Catholic, and the only meeting that's been statted between these two is back in 2016. Kemper Catholic came out with a 21-20 victory there, and they would love to hand the Central Lyon, George Little Rock Lions their first loss of the season. Kemper does come into this contest at 8-2, and the matchup is really going to be is can this Kemper defense slow down this high explosive Lions offense, and I haven't seen a team that's been able to do it so far. You look at their last game, Roland Story, didn't think it was going to be that much of a challenge for them. They won 49-0. Their only game that was close was to the crosstown rival in West Lyon, that 7-0 game. Just played in some colder weather, and it's a team that plays really good defense against them. Was able to keep them off the scoreboard up until their only touchdown of the game. So I think trying to lock down, if you're on the Kemper Catholic side, trying to lock down Reese Vanderzee and Graham Eben. You can't limit both of them just because there's just not enough playmakers on any side of the field to lock up any of them, no matter what class you're in. And just trying to limit the times that they have the ball in their hands. You cannot turn a ball over in this game. And, for the most part, they have 31 passing touchdowns and just six interceptions. That's a great clip. Thrown for over 2,000 yards. And then on the running side, they have ran for 1,200 yards and have 17 touchdowns. But with what they do on the ground, they're so explosive. Only 14 passing touchdowns for the Lions, the Central Lyon, George Little Rock, but 47 rushing touchdowns. They just get it done. Those offensive linemen, I think that not enough times that gets talked about, because yeah, you have explosive players in the backfield and set out wide, but the offensive line has done an incredible job of giving the quarterback, whoever's back there, signal caller, enough time to diagnose the defense, read it out, and then you can basically, in some of these running lanes, you can drive a truck through it. So then you put an athlete that's able to make cuts and moves in the second level and get past the linebacker in the secondary, and it's home cooking almost every time that they touch the ball. It's an 8.5 yards per rush clip, which is just ungodly. Every time you touch the ball, every other time you're getting 16 yards, 17 yards. That's just a crazy, crazy thing to try to stop. But Kemper, is going to have to, when they get the ball, not dink and dump down the field, but score every time you get the ball, if you're able to, and just limit the possessions that Central Lyon gets. And if they want to run the ball, let them run the ball, but just try to knock down that 8.5 yards, maybe 3 yards a carry, extend some drives. And you never want your defense to be out there for such a long time. But in a game like this where Central Lyon just looks to score and repeat the scoring time after time after time, you're almost going to want to keep your defense out there for a little bit and have them have to put together a 12 to 13 play drive just to score, whereas Central Lyon wants to get 1-2 punch, get their guys back out on defense and defend that way. Should be a good one. The closer the games get towards the state championship game, Central Lyon's going to get tested more and more. I like this matchup against Kemper Catholic. Should be a really good one. Great crowd will be in hand. Central Lion fans are crazy. They bring a lot of fans to the Dome as well. You know, Central Lions looking to repeat, go back-to-back in Class 2A, and their crosstown rival takes on a really good Spirit Lake team on the road as West Lion will travel there. Last time these two teams met up was in 2021. West Lion had a 35-7 victory in that game and are looking for a little bit of repeating trends to happen as their only loss on the season is to Central Lion Georgia Little Rock in that 7-0 game. And since then, they've won 50-0, and then that Western Christian game, which was a nice little tune-up for this game. They won 29-20 against a really good Western Christian team. And the Spirit Lake Indians had no trouble with New Hampton. They won 48-6, and then their previous game before that, their first round was against Southeast Valley, and they won that one 49-0. Looking back at the teams that both have played, CGD, a team that West Lion played their first opening game of the playoffs, they won 50-0. You go to the Spirit Lake side in the last game of the season. Now, I don't know how many guys were resting or anything like that, or if they pulled after halftime. They only won that game 21-0. So looking at the eye test of teams that are played, the similar matchups, West Lion was able to get the offense moving a little bit more than Spirit Lake was in this one. They do throw the ball a little bit more than West Lion does. About 70 more passing attempts does Spirit Lake have over West Lion. They've thrown it for 800 more yards, but a really good clip passing yards completion per completion, 15.5 for West Lion and 16.3 for Spirit Lake. 14 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. They do a really good job, Bryson Childress, of taking care of the football when he has to get out of the pocket and run with it, and obviously sitting back in the pocket and really picking apart a defense. Only 2 interceptions thrown by this quarterbacking unit all season. It's done a really good job. And on the other side, Caden Lutt, 22 touchdowns through the air. 20 touchdowns of his own, 2 touchdowns on the ground, and then 7 interceptions through the air. And he's done a really good job as well. 1,808 yards through the air and 108 attempts of 170. So he does a really good job, right around 60% completion for that one, a little over 60%. They do a really good job of running as well. Nearing the 2,000-yard mark for rushing yards with 37 touchdowns, and West Lion has 1,500 yards for 28 touchdowns. So a lot more offense that you've seen sparked out of Spirit Lake, but they have shown that they have an ability to be slowing down, just like we talked about in the Clarion-Godfield game. They only scored 21 points, and West Lion was able to win 50-0. So West Lion going to have to do what they've done. Recipe for them has been not letting teams get into games and score. And you're going to have to kind of flip the script up, because last week you played a really close nail-biter game against a Western Christian team. Came in and they put 20 up on you. So we knew it was going to be a kind of a back-and-forth game. And in this instance, you want it to be back-and-forth too against the Spirit Lake team. It's going to be really good. It should be a good matchup, and I like to see this game score between the 30s. 28-35, I think, would be a pretty close final score. I like West Lion prevailing in this one just because their defense will get a stop, you know, later in the third or in the fourth quarter. That'll really change the momentum for this one. But I'll look for a good close game going into halftime, and one adjustment that they make in the second half that turns to a turnover on downs, even if it is, to get West Lion the ball back to be able to hold on to it for a little bit longer and then go up a touchdown. I look for that to be the key in this one. And then our final game with 3A and a team that has been a surprise, and Marty and I have talked about it all year. Bishop Heelan is going to face Sioux Center, a team that matched up in their own district this year, and the Bishop Heelan Crusaders would like a different outcome. Lost the first game 21-0. And that game was really dominated by Sioux Center, a team that won the last three meetings, 2023, 2022, and 2021. And just in their last meeting, Quinn Olsen didn't have a terrible game. Was their leading rusher, which I think that can stay the same, but it's going to have to change. You're going to need a little bit more than 57 yards out of Quinn, and also need him to score a touchdown. But Bordy Van Riggenmoeter passing through the air for Sioux Center did a really good job. Very accurate and precise. Only 13 passing attempts, but he had 11 completions for 217 yards. And then Solomon T., 6 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. They just kind of had their way with this Bishop Heelan defense. And we talked about it. Anytime that a team gets film and it sees you one time, it's going to be a lot different. Getting a lot of guys healthy back for Bishop Heelan is going to be a huge key. This game's going to be a lot closer than their first meeting. I would see a touchdown difference. This one's really going to go to, I think, who has the ball last. Both teams are very, mirroring each other on the offensive side. When you go look at the tail of the tapes, Quinn Olsen's done a really good job keeping up with the tailbacks that he has in his roster. He's one of the leading rushers on the team with 811 yards and 13 touchdowns. And Solomon T has done that with more attempts and fewer touchdowns as a true tailback. So the dual threat option that Quinn Olsen's been able to give this Crusader offense has been huge. You have Sir Brandon Watts, Max Delaney on defense and on offense. I think they have a lot of weapons that are going to be able to help them out. Cade Baer, Bauer, at the tight end position, bigger receiver, 14 catches for 315 yards and 2 touchdowns. He'll be a name that you're going to want to keep your eye on as well. But both these teams just, rushing the ball. Heelan has the edge on rushes by 300, but receiving is pretty close. It's 1,008 receiving yards to 1,060 receiving yards for each respected team. Both throw it for around a 15-yard average clip. So it should be a really good game. Both teams are pretty close in play style. You have Sioux Center team that beat an Algona team last week, 28-21. And then the Clear Lake game, Heelan was up big in that one, and Clear Lake kind of came back. We didn't know how that one was going to end. But a game where both teams had to hang on and play their best football in the fourth quarter. And I think both teams were able to move on from that game and come out way victorious. And it's going to be a good matchup of those two teams matching up here on Friday. That game will be in Sioux Center and should be, a great one. Dort Field has seen some good football this year by the defenders, and it's going to see another great classic game on Friday night as when Heelan comes to town. Should be a good one there as well. And, we look forward to recapping all the games out of South Dakota and in Iowa next week. And hopefully we have a team representing the Sioux City area in each class. And we'll be talking more championship matchups coming up next week. And we'd like to thank our sponsors again for making this possible: Sioux City Ford Lincoln, Fairway Groceries, and CNOS. We'll talk at you guys next week with our predictions and our champions.